It's time to get nerdy, y'all.
A little bit of gaming history for you.
Something relevant in gaming and discuss our opinions on it.
Should we kick it out of here or should we kickstart it?
This is the part where you, the listeners, try to stump the hosts.
I'm not a lawyer. I just play one on a podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's Tuesday, March 23rd, 2021, and you know what that means. It's Taco Tuesday, but also it's time to get nerdy, y'all. Welcome to episode number 182 of Two Nerds in a Pod, the nerdiest video game podcast in the galaxy. I am Lom, also known as Mr. Nice Guy, and I am joined by my comrade in gaming commentary, the Miggity 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 Mac, also known as Maction. Mac, what's good, buddy? How are you?
I'm doing all right. It has been a fun and exciting week, but I don't want to take all of the time. Just to say, I'll start by saying it was a great week. I have more if we want it. Mr. Nice Guy, anything you want to share?
No, I actually wanted to hear what you had to say, man, because things on my end, pretty straightforward, pretty boring.
Okay.
What did I do? I will tell you this. Your boy smoked some killer wings this weekend. And it was the first week of March Madness, which I know that you did not know because you're not a sports guy, right? College basketball, though. First week of the tourney. Had to have some good meat. Didn't want to do a six-hour rib. Didn't want to do a 12 to 14-hour brisket. Did some two-hour wings. Nice, simple, delicious. That was it. How about you, man? What's new with you?
Dude, it was a fun week. So I have never really taken, like, vacations before. Anytime I've taken time off of work, it's always been with, like, a goal in mind. So, sure, yep. I'll take a vacation off. I'll take some time off. I'll go on, air quotes, vacation when there is a, you know, a charity marathon going on and I'm a presenter. Or when...
Gaming conference.
Yeah, when there's a gaming conference. Or when, I mean, like, there's a big event coming up. I'm a take time off when there's events, never any other time. But this weekend... We did something different. We legit took time off, both of us.
That's what's up. You and your wife?
Yeah. We went and we went to go visit family with absolutely no strings attached to it.
Ooh,
right. And
nice.
As you know, last week we had had, we gave the good big news about us both getting our vaccines, right? So we were...
You and your wife,
yeah. Yeah, so yeah. We were confident that in going, we wouldn't be putting anybody else at risk. So, or at least more confident than usual. So, because we do what we're supposed to. Anyway, so we go, we visit, and we just spent the whole time doing basically nothing but having
That's
a fun
best.
Time jumping on the trampoline.
That's great.
We played a round of mini golf outside, visited a couple state parks. You know, it was just kind of everything you could have hoped for and more. And the food, oh, we had access to all of the big city stuff that we don't have access to out here in the sticks. And
nice.
It was just... glorious, and it was everything a vacation should be. We slept until we didn't want to sleep anymore. It
nice.
Was delightful.
So tell me about some of this food, Mac. What's something you ate that was really good? Tell me about
okay.
it. I'm a foodie.
So let's start with at the end and move backwards. Euros.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Ooh, some lovely lamb euros. It was terrific. Let's jump
They're
back
amazing.
Before that. How about pho? We had legit...
Excuse me? What did you just say to me?
Pho, you jerk. We had legit pho with, bone broth soup. Amazing stuff. Before
okay.
that, we had ribs. Ribs, Mr. Nice Guy. They're not as good
I'm going to put you on the spot. I was going to put you on the spot and ask.
Not as good
but
as
go ahead
your
and
ribs,
your
though. But
Okay,
like,
fair, fair.
But legit fair. Ribs.
Because what is?
Yeah.
What ribs are? Right.
And then before that, sushi. Sushi for dinner,
okay.
Mr. Nice Guy.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
Everything we've been missing for basically the past year, and we got it all in one trip. We relaxed. I mean, it was heaven. It was great.
I like it. You got a great mix of ethnic and also American in that. That's fantastic, dude. And you look, I can see your face is more round than it was last week, so well done.
Thank you.
Well done.
Thank you.
Well, Mac, I have nothing that can top that, man. I love it. I love it. I say we do what we do best, and we hop right into that gaming news, my friend. What do you think about that?
Let's do it, because there's a lot of big stuff to talk about this week.
There is. There's a ton, and I'm excited to start by mentioning once again, thanks for tuning in, everybody. This is episode 182 of Two Nerds in a Pod. First news story of the week, Mac, just a straight up feel good story from GameSpot.com by Eddie Mackick. The CEO of a Japanese technology company has given employees the day off this Friday, March 26th, so they can play Monster Hunter Rise. Masaki Hiyama, the CEO of VR company Mark On, declared March 26th to be Mon Hun Day, and no one will be asked to come to work. VGC translated a Huffington Post Japan story that quoted Hiyama telling his employees, March 26th will be the release date of Monster Hunter Rise, and since it is expected that we will not be able to concentrate on our work, I will be making that day a Mon Hun vacation. And he says that Hiyama had told the site that several employees were already going to take the day off, so he's just giving everyone the day off anyway. Mac, what are your thoughts, man? I have some thoughts. What do you think?
Well, I mean, on the one hand, I think congrats to them. On the other hand, I hope that there are no day one bugs that need immediate seeing to. But I mean, I feel like I can see where he's coming from, you know? It's just like we're going to have trouble focusing, something we've spent years. I mean, I don't know how big the team is, but you've got to imagine that they've spent the last bare minimum year to 2 years of their lives, 9 to 5, probably more like 5 or 6 days a week, 52 weeks a year for the past couple of years, times however many, you know, people for the man hours being put into this game in order to bring it to life. And I mean, being able to see it come out and, you know, be in the wild for the first time. It's fantastic.
Yeah, so you're right about the part that they've been excited. Just for context, though, this isn't the company that made the game. This is just another VR company, right? In Japan, Monster Hunter is so big. Like, it's like, I'm trying to think of a game I could even compare it to in the States. Like Monster Hunter is like a cultural revolution in Japan.
Uh-huh.
It's so big there. And so that's why he's giving him the day off. Your point still stands, though.
I see. So I misunderstood. We're not talking the people who made the game. We're just talking about a company that, like, yeah, people are...
A VR company.
A VR right. company, and people are big into Monster Hunter, and the boss is just like, take the day. Our favorite video game's coming out. Take the day.
Yeah.
Oh, that's even better. I mean, there's no downside in that case.
No, I agree. I think it's fantastic. I think that we should see more of this, right?
Oh, I agree. Like, especially, you know, in our companies where we work, we should see a lot of that.
Yeah, now it's not like everyone has the same interests, but like if you have a team where everyone does have a specific interest, like, yeah, give them the day off to go do it. It increases morale. They're going to come back refreshed. They're going to be more united because they're going to be talking about how dope of a time they had playing Monster Hunter. I haven't really been able to click with Monster Hunter in several years, Mac. I'm thinking I might dip my toe in Monster Hunter Rise Nintendo Switch this Friday. We will see. Next news story, Mac. Just another straight up feel good story that I have to share because I like for our people who listen to our pod to know about these awesome deals that are coming. This is really, really straightforward from PCGamer.com by James Davenport. You can get Half-Life Alyx for 40% off for Alyx's first birthday celebration sale. I'm not going to read the article. I will just tell you that it's $36 right now as opposed to the normal $60. And it is, hands down, the best VR game I have ever played. And up there with the best games I have ever played overall. So anyone who is on the fence about Half-Life Alyx or on the fence about VR, once you get VR, you will absolutely want to play this game. So pick it up and just have it in your library for free or for cheap, cheaper than normal. Deal goes from now until March 31st. Mac, I have a feeling we're going to talk about VR a little bit later today. But not right now. Mac, let me ask you this about Half-Life, though. Where would you rank it as far as, like, influence, games that have, like, influenced you or had an effect on you as a gamer? Where would you put that series?
I would put Half-Life definitely in the top 20.
Yeah. And as someone who's been gaming for, like, what? I don't know how long. Decades? That's pretty high praise, right?
Yeah.
You're not a casual. You know, so cool. Let's keep things moving, Mac. Let's talk a little bit more about the Nintendo Switch. We got some more details, potential details about the Switch Pro that's rumored. This is on Kotaku.com by Mike Fahey. Outputting native 4K graphics is hard, he says. Upscaling to 4K is a little easier. According to a Bloomberg report posted early this morning, Nintendo's long-rumored upgraded Nintendo Switch will leverage a new NVIDIA system on a chip to upscale its docked graphics to 4K. The current Nintendo Switch model is powered by an NVIDIA Tegra X1 Plus system on a chip, SoC. An SoC combines the basic components of a computer, CPU, GPU, memory, and a single self-contained unit. In the latest installment of Bloomberg's The People Familiar with the Matter series, the upgraded OLED Nintendo Switch, expected by the end of the year, will use an upgraded SoC. Lots of big words here, kids. With support for NVIDIA's Deep Learning Super Sampling, also known as DLSS. We're going to stop right there because this is just getting straight up confusing. Mac, I feel like Nintendo is acting off brand here. Like, they're super concerned about graphics. They're super concerned about things like performance and maybe even frame rate. Like, is it too late at this point, mid-gen, to do this type of upgrade?
I mean, I don't think so. Unless, of course, we expect to get a new console in the very near future. I don't think it's too late. We just don't know how long this gen is going to last. And if there's a lot of longevity left in the Switch, then, you know, it makes sense to do a refresh.
Yeah, it's interesting. And it almost makes me wonder if like, this is the new console, right? I'll tell you what I would hate. I would hate if this new Switch has new cartridges or has new, not cartridges, but new, whatever those things are called, that go into the Switch, the games, right?
I would have called them cartridges.
Yeah, they are. They're basically mini cartridges, right? Not like an NES cart, but a little mini cart. They're like SD cards. That's the correct term, probably, right? I would hate if they have new ones that work with the new Switch and do not work with my current Switch. Because it's effectively the same console, it's just graphically better, right? Every time we see a mid-gen refresh of PlayStation or of Xbox, all the discs still work, right? It's just a pro version of the console, and I hope that that is what this is with Nintendo. Please don't start making 4K Switch cartridges that will not work with my current one. That's all I have to say about that. Mac, we got one more story, and then we'll keep it moving. Mucha says, as long as they don't make the Switch U. Yeah, they absolutely better not. So, Mac, last story. Let's talk about Amazon and Rainbow Six Siege. This is on IGN by Jordan Ulliman. A group of core members of the Rainbow Six Siege team, including its ex-creative director, will lead a new Amazon Games studio working on a AAA online multiplayer title based on new IP. Mac, I'm not even going to read the article, but here's what we've got. We've got an experienced team, Rainbow Six Siege people, right? We've got Amazon and their piles and piles of money. We've seen how that has not worked before when they're trying to make a game. Do you think this will make the difference? Amazon basically bringing in experts and funding it, but having them be the ones to make the game? Or do you think that Amazon should just give up? What are your thoughts, man?
Dude, I mean, I would like to pretend that I have all the answers, especially when it comes to telling to Amazon what to do with their hard-earned money and their time and effort and energy.
You should be Jeff Bezos retired. I think Mac is next in line.
I think so. I am the next in line. But dude, I just don't know. I mean, I could see them going a bunch of different ways, but I just really have no idea, and I don't have enough information about, you know, about all the things in play to make a speculation at this time. I'm sorry.
No, you're good, man.
You think, dude? I think you're more read into it than I am.
I mean, here's the thing. Rainbow Six Siege is a game that has been around for 8 years, right? So someone in the chat says, just give up Amazon. Look at the Google Stadia. Siege has been around for 8 years, and it's been relevant, and it's had an esports support, and it's had additional content support. And it's stayed popular, and it has a dedicated community. And from what I've seen Amazon try to do, those are the types of games that they have tried to make, but they just have not succeeded because they were not interesting, right? Or they were buggy, or there were issues. And so I think this is exactly what they need to do. They need to not bring in a bunch of talented individuals and pay them to make a game or fund them making a game. They need to bring in a team. A team of people who have worked together, who have camaraderie, who have meshed, and who have done this successfully before. And that's what they've done here, and so I think that it can succeed. Now, I think where they'll see challenges is, I don't know, a lot of people think Amazon is, you know, big, bad corporate America, and that's a good point that some people make. That's a fair point. But I think the key is going to be making something that isn't derivative of what we already have. And I don't know if that can be done at this point. We'll see. And that's all I have to say about it. Mootra says in the chat real quick, he says, games are so hit or miss as to what catches on. He's right. Look at Battleborn. If it's not an established series, it needs to be something new and special, or it needs a big streamer to stream it and get everybody hyped. So, Mac, that has been our news for the week, man.
All right. Well, now that we've taken a look at what's going on around us right now, let's take a little look into the past. We call this video game history. And, of course, we have to mention, released in 2020, Half-Life Alyx, as Mr. Nice Guy pointed out just a few short minutes ago.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, indeed. We do have another birthday to celebrate. That is, the PlayStation 3 was released today in 2007 for Europe and Australia. Now, this is a little bit of a stretch, specifically because Mr. Nice Guy knows where I'm going here. Let's talk real quickly about the PS3 and how your video game console will die. There is a battery inside of your PlayStation 3. It's about the size of an old coin cell battery, and it's attached to two vital things, the system clock and the parameter RAM. When this battery fails at startup, any digital purchases on your PlayStation 3 will no longer be accessible. And you might be saying, Mac, let's just replace the battery. And to you, I say, I applaud your initiative, you budding, aspiring hacktivist, you. But it goes deeper, because even after it's replaced, in order to unlock those files for you to play, even if they're downloaded on the, you know, hard drive itself, it needs to double check with the Sony PS3 servers to sync up the clocks. Well, all support for the PS3 is ending on July 2nd of this year, and after that point, there will be nothing for it to sync to. So if you did manage to grab all of your digital purchases for your PlayStation 3, re-download them onto your PS3, and replace that battery before the July cutoff, you'll be able to play your game until that battery dies, or there is some large system error that forces a time reset, and then you will be out of luck. So, in order to honor some of these games, I would like to just read off a couple of names that were digital-only PS3 exclusives that now fade into history. And there was a surprising number of digital-only PS3 exclusives, which, of course, meaning you can't bring those forward to the PS4 or the PS5 because they haven't.
They're not backwards. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So until these games are remastered and re-released, we honor them by saying goodbye as you fade into history. And I'm only going to read off ones that are like 65% to 90%, like, you know, well-received games.
Sure. Yeah.
Because, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, yeah. But anyway, Bomberman Ultra, Calling All Cars, Comet Crash, Crash Commando, Echo Chrome 2, Elefunk, Galaga Legions DX, House of the Dead 4, Savage Moon, Snake Ball, Supersonic Acrobatic Robot Powered Battle Cars, that's all one title there. And that is, that title just tells you everything. Supersonic Acrobatic Robot Powered Battle Cars? I mean, whew.
A must play.
Tetris HD and Trash Panic. Now, not having ever had a PS3 myself, I can't say whether or not these games, you know, were great, or whether or not we should mourn their passing that much. But I will just say they took time, effort, and energy across hundreds of people, thousands of man hours to put some of this art in there, and for at least the time being, come July 2nd, this will just be a memory, unplayable anywhere by anyone, possibly forever. So I know you opened up with a lot of good gaming news, some heartwarming things, and I feel bad.
Yeah, what are you doing?
I feel bad that we're bringing it down, but, I think this just serves as another cautionary tale about, you know, digital only and exclusive titles. A lot of other games that were released digitally only for the PlayStation 3 have been, like, you know, remastered for the PS4 or even compatible, so you can just port them straight forward. And of course, if you had your own discs, you could still pop those into the PS4 or what have you to play them. But these ones, digital releases only, there's no way around it.
Mac is basically like, yo, gaming dreams from your childhood about to die.
Well, I mean, if by childhood we mean like 2007 to 2010.
Yeah, for our younger.
Yeah, for our younger listeners, indeed. Maybe these were important to you, and maybe they weren't so important to me, but I mean, I think Mr. Nice Guy and I can both really see the shame in this. And I know this isn't an especially long bit of video game history, because I kind of wanted to put this out there and just let the topic breathe. I know we've talked a lot in the past about DRM, about digital onlys and things like that, but it's just a shame to see any game that people put their blood, sweat, and tears into falling by the wayside. So while I'm not sure if Bomberman Ultra was the pinnacle of the Bomberman, if it had important lore or vital components to the Bomberman franchise, probably didn't. But, you know, it's still a shame that Jerry, who worked on Bomberman Ultra, I'm just throwing out a name there, that the game goes away. So
yeah, agreed.
Yeah, but anyway, that's just some very depressing video game history for you.
Well, it's time to get excited, because now it's time for the topic of the week, where we talk about a story that's relevant in gaming and give our opinions on it. And this is a big one that I'd love to hear the opinions of the people in the chat about. This is about Discord. It's a program that Mac and I are very familiar with. It's a program that probably all of you are familiar with. It's the program that we are using at this moment to do the video call for this podcast, and we use it every single week. I use it regularly. We'll talk more about that in a minute. Here's the story on GameSpot.com by Haley Williams. Discord is exploring its options for a sale that could be worth more than $10 billion, VentureBeat has reported. Additional sources quoted by Bloomberg say that Microsoft is one of the companies involved in talks to acquire Discord, though it's still possible that Discord will go public rather than agree to a sale to a larger company. Sources quoted by VentureBeat claim that the potential sale comes due to interest expressed by multiple parties. One person claims that Discord is in final negotiations with one party, having signed an exclusive acquisition discussion. I didn't even know that was a thing, Mac, that you can sign exclusive acquisition discussions, meaning you only talk to one person about who can buy you, apparently. I assume that's what that means. A Bloomberg source said that Discord has reached out to Microsoft to gauge interest, with Xbox head Phil Spencer involved in talks with the gaming chat company. Mac, do you have like any general thoughts? If not, I have like more specific questions. But what do you think about Discord being acquired by one of the big three?
Well, they certainly did a bang up job with Skype. I mean, not to throw too much shade, but I mean, I wonder what things... Obviously, things will always change when a company or when a product changes hands. At best, you can hope for how Microsoft treated Minecraft in continuing forward the goals and the dreams and maybe actually making it, you know, carrying it forward the way it had. But, I mean, ugh. At the same time, you know my general feelings about the concentration of powers into the big companies, and
they just got Bethesda, and that's a pretty big deal too.
Yeah,
right. Yeah. So I get where you're going, and like, here's my thing. Discord right now is on PC. I don't believe it's on consoles. Correct me if I'm wrong. Like, I think anyone who's using Discord is doing it through their PC, their tablet. They're not doing it through their Xbox, their PlayStation, their Switch, right? Microsoft could literally, I don't think they'd take it off PC, but they could add it to Xbox. They could say, hey, because quite frankly, I play Call of Duty Black Ops, and when I play, I'm often playing with people who are on Xbox, people who are on PlayStation, some people who are on PC, and we're using Discord to communicate, right? What if Microsoft says, hey, now you can use Discord on your Xbox. You could be playing an Xbox game. Your friends could be playing something on their PC completely different. Now you can chat to each other. Unless they're on PS5, right? Like, that could be a thing. And I feel like that divides communities rather than unites them as far as gaming. I don't know if you'd agree with me on that.
You know, I can see what you're saying. I do think that it's probably not so much of an issue. I am sure that there are those people who play on Xbox or play on even PlayStation that maybe do not also have a cell phone or a tablet through which they can also do a Discord call. While I don't think that integration through the Xbox itself is the limiting factor, I suppose it could be to a very small number of people, but I just don't think that that is opening it up to that many more people. So while I hear what you're saying, and I guess, you know, even one additional person having the kind of access that we have is a good thing.
Yeah.
I just get concerned with, at what cost, Mr. Nice Guy? At what cost?
What cost will it be? Moocher, sorry, finish your
thought. Oh, no, please.
So Moocher brings up a really, really interesting point. He says, Microsoft and Valve better keep their filthy hands off Discord. They'll screw it up with subscriptions and premium exclusives. I think that's a valid concern. Like, I think they could say, you know, now this is tied to, if you have Game Pass, you get extra perks with Discord, right? Like, maybe they leave Discord as it is, but then they say you can also do feature X, Y, and Z. That's something we've always wanted from Discord if you have a Game Pass subscription, right? And then what does that do? It's saying, hey, we're not taking anything away that you had already, Mac. But if you want to be able to talk to people who are using Discord on the moon, you've got to buy Game Pass or whatever that feature is.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's ridiculous, but you get what I'm saying. So I could see that happening. Moocher also says, no one wants exclusivity with one platform, especially with crossplay games like Rocket League and Fortnite. I agree 100% with that. So I hope Discord stays as is. I hope it doesn't get ruined.
Yeah, me too. And there is good reason. Like I said, I think Minecraft gives us a lot of reason to be hopeful that if Microsoft were to be taking over Discord, that they at least have some teams inside of their umbrella that are dedicated to pushing forward the intent and idea, the spirit of the original. Although, that being said, I think, Mr. Nice Guy, one thing that we are getting ahead of ourselves with is we don't even know if that's happening. How was it phrased in the article?
Rumored. It's rumored. What part of it? It said it's rumored that there's a exclusive acquisition discussion going on.
Yeah.
But there's multiple companies that are rumored to be in.
Yeah, that sounds to me like somebody who's engaged to be engaged. And, I mean, it could turn out, you know, who's laughing now in a couple of weeks as it turns out that the deal is done and Microsoft's purchased it. But for now, what we have, at least as far as I understand it, is just rumors, and that Microsoft is rumored to be the one who's chatting with, entertaining the idea, thinking strongly about saying, hey, wouldn't it be nice if dreaming about us and all of our Discord profiles.
It also said that they might just go public. So, like, this is very much just a rumored thing. I will say this. If Microsoft buys Discord, or if Amazon does, or if Valve does, it's going to change. Like, Mac, how much do you pay to use Discord right now?
I believe $3.99 is the deal that I got.
Right. I am doing absolutely nothing other than using Discord to help promote Discord, and I guess mentioning it on this podcast, right? If Microsoft buys it, they're going to be buying it for revenue, right? They're going to be buying it so that they can make money. And so there will have to be some type of change for them to make money, because right now I think the majority of us are using it for free.
Yeah, and I will throw out there that I would very much like it if Discord went public. If they had an IPO, I would probably buy some stock in Discord because it's a product that I use. It's a product that I think does a good job, and I would love to be, in my small way, contributing to the rise and hopefully not the fall of Discord.
Ah, so a couple people in the chat. That's a good point, Mac. Say that Discord Nitro, which I did know existed, but I have never purchased. Ruckus says it has some special offers with Game Pass when you buy Discord Nitro. You get 3-month trial for Ultimate. Mutra says you can stream in HD, etc. Mesgro says she has Nitro as well. Cool. Well, we'll see what happens with that. That has been our topic of the week.
All right. Well, now we're going to turn to a crowdfunding project that's trying to get off of the ground. We call this Kick or Kickstart, and you know how this works. I'm going to post a link in the chat. We're going to take a look at something on Kickstarter, or who knows, maybe I'll surprise you all, and it'll be something like Indiegogo or otherwise. And we will discuss some of the virtues and vices, and at the end say whether or not we think it should be kicked out of here, or whether we think it should be kick-started. And here comes your link. This is called...
Yes! Yes!
Oh.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, this is called Lone Fungus. Mr. Nice Guy, it feels like you might have something to say already about this.
Yeah, all I will say, I don't want to steal your thunder, all I will say is this popped up in my email because another Kickstarter that I had funded... the people who made that Kickstarter funded this one, so I am familiar with this.
Well, at the current moment, Lone Fungus is looking for just shy of $30,000, $29,317 to be exact, in order to get funded. Now, of course, the non-round number, naturally, that this is a number that's converted from whatever the...
Foreign currency
is in Sweden, because this comes to us from Sweden. but yeah, so they're looking at that. It's got 28 days to go, so let's give you some important things. Lone Fungus made by just one dude. We're talking a fellow by the name of Basti, that's short for Sebastian, out of Sweden. It's a Metroidvania aiming for 50-ish hours of content. It claims Hollow Knight and Celeste as inspirations, doubling down on the sword pogo mechanic that we saw a little bit of in Hollow Knight. It, of course, does mention other things like Super Metroid, Castlevania 4, and Mega Man X. But I certainly, from what I saw, I was just like, Celeste and Hollow Knight really rings true for me. Now, it, like I said, $30,000 to launch, $18 or $21 for the playable game on release. The first number there, the 18, is for you early birds out there. And if you happen to be the type of person that likes to get in on early access for a game, there is a tier for that. We're talking a $50 tier. It's actually like $48 or some such to get in on the early access. Now, I am happy to throw out there that there is a playable demo. The demo features the first area and two bosses. And the early access demo, which apparently, I couldn't see it exactly, but it seemed as though, gauging from the language in there, that it's ready to rock and roll right now for anybody who backs at $50 or
what,
above.
What, for real?
Yeah, it looks like he says that it already has 6 areas and 13 bosses ready to go on the, you know, on the early access. Now, the delivery date is slated at the current moment for October 2021, which isn't all that long to get this thing going, which gave me a little bit of a pause because, I mean, 6 areas, early access, if you're aiming for 50 hours, you know, maybe that gives you enough. But this is actually this guy's second try on Kickstarter, and I thought this project looked a touch familiar when I saw it. Going back to April of last year, he had a game, generally the same, he called it Green Cap back then, and canceled it back in April of last year, and is back with it for more polish and definitely a lot more work put into it. So yeah, Mr. Nice Guy, tell me what you think.
I'm going to do this. I'm going to go. Let's just start calling me the Stephen A. Smith of video games, right? Stephen A. Smith Mac is a sports reporter.
Mm-hmm.
He yells a lot. You may be familiar. I'm not going to yell, but I am going to be very direct. Basti, first of all, fantastic looking idea. But listen to me. If you're going to compare a game to Hollow Knight and Celeste, two of the best indies ever made, you had better come correct and make sure that your game is one of the best Kickstarter games ever made. That's all I'm going to say. Like, the other thing I'll say about, in an unrelated note, you're comparing your game to too many other games. Like, I mean, Hollow Knight, Super Metroid, Super Castlevania 4, Mega Man X, and Celeste. Like, that's too much. That's too much. Tell me it's like peanut butter and jelly. Don't tell me it's like peanut butter, jelly, bananas, peanuts, and honey. Like, that's too much in between two slices of bread. I'm not saying it wouldn't be delicious. I'm just saying it's too many flavors for me to wrap my brain around. It's weird marketing. This looks dope. I'll say that. Like, to be positive, this looks really, really cool. I like that he's taking inspiration from Celeste. I like that he's taking inspiration from Hollow Knight. And I like the color scheme. Like, it looks like it controls really tight. Mac, I mean, you know what I'm going to say about where this needs to be. It needs to be on Nintendo Switch. Just like, there's no excuse at this point. The Switch install base is so big that by making a Metroidvania and expecting people to sit down at their computer and play it, you are doing yourself a disservice. Put it on the Nintendo Switch, not as a stretch goal, just make it be on there. Last point I will make. It is possible to have too many upgrades in a game. And when I look at the screen, I don't know if you saw this. Mm-hmm. He has a screen where he like shows the upgrades. Like, my brain wants to explode right now. Like, there's no way that I would ever use that many upgrades in a game. And it's just too much. But I think this looks great other than that.
Other than it's not on the Switch, there's too many upgrades. There's too many there's too many inspirations.
Yeah.
I mean, but aside from that,
I said the graphics look great. It looks like it controls tight. He's taking influence from good games. I didn't mention price point. I think the price point is fine. I think for $18, you need to provide all the DLC that comes out post-launch, right? Shovel Knight was like $15 in Kickstarter, and they gave backers everything that came out after.
And you know what? I actually think that one of the things that we're dealing with is that $18 probably winds up being the right number. It probably winds up being that round number in his currency. So I think what we're dealing with here is it being, it is. It's 150 SEK, whatever that is. I'm sorry, I don't know what the unit is. But 150 SEK sounds like, you know, that sounds perfect. 179 SEK, could have been 180 for the thing. But in his currency, these numbers all seem fairly round, fairly well, and they're probably fairly common, you know, units to land on, kind of like with us being like $15 is what we would have expected. 15, 20, you know, that sort of thing. But yeah, that's what I'm thinking is where we're at with respect to those purchases. But yeah, well, I'm glad to hear that you like it, Mr. Nice Guy. And it seemed to be pretty popular with those who are here with us live. The Swedish Krona. Thank you kindly, Spear. Much appreciated and good to see you. So, here's what I'm thinking. I'm just going to run down some of the quick comments and then we can say what we think. Moocher says, Kickstart. I can easily see this as a race in a GDQ event. They do that all the time with this genre. Uncle Ruckus is on board with a Kickstart. Mets Girl says Kickstart. It looks like everybody so far is on board. So, Mr. Nice Guy, I would have played the demo had I not been on vacation this weekend and away from my computer, but I...
You know what, though? If the demo was on Switch, you could have played it on vacation.
Entirely possible, because I had access to a Switch, yes. But I do think that having the you know, having the demo there gives me enough confidence, even though I haven't played it, to say that I like what I see. I think this is good. Again, this isn't his first time. He had this, he was working on this, he decided it wasn't ready. I mean, obviously, I'm reading into his motivations a bit, but he, you know, went back, put some polish on it, brought us back a new product, something that seems like it has a lot more polish based on the differences between the two, and that excites me. So I'm very much feeling Kickstart for this one.
I feel Kickstart too. Like, I feel like I have to be critical. Like, I don't want to just say, yeah, this is perfect. Like, I want to give feedback, you know, and who knows if he will hear it or not, but we're objective here. And so, yes, this looks great. It looks like a game I would play. I just want it on Switch. Like, I don't want to sit down at my computer and play a Metroidvania, right? I want to lay in bed and play a Metroidvania. I want to be on a road trip and play a Metroidvania. I don't want to have to sit down and play it on my PC. But Kickstart, absolutely. Mac, what's the progress? How much progress has he made?
At the current moment, it is 3,200 of 29,000, so 11%, 12%, somewhere in there.
So, if I could just say one last thing, if y'all believe in this, and you have the funds to do so, like, part of the reason we do this isn't just because it's a brilliant segment that Mac came up with, it's because we really want to highlight projects that deserve to be made that aren't there yet. And to me, this is one of those projects. I'm looking at the map. I'm looking at where he says 50 hours of content. And I think that, you know, if he's going to get there, he needs our support. So if you have the means and you believe in this, back it.
Agreed. And yeah, this is definitely going to be one of those that I'm picking up. So, yeah. Thanks everybody for participating. That's been Kick or Kickstart. Basti, get it on Switch, and Mr. Nice Guy will be happy. But even so, we still like what you're doing. We wish you all the success in the world, and hopefully this completes its funding goal over the next 28 days, because it still has some time. So that's been Kick or Kickstart.
Awesome. Now it's time for Nerdflex.
Woo-hoo.
A segment where you, the viewer, try to stump the host. We'll see what happens this week. If you're here live, you know how this works. Put your question in the chat, multiple choice, gaming related. Mac and I will try to answer it. We'll talk through it. Who wants to be a millionaire style? If we don't have some questions come in, we always have the test bank as a backup, but we prefer to answer gaming questions from you people here live on the air, just because it's more fun that way. And occasionally, Mac does a little thing called sound test. Are we doing that this week, or are we all set?
So, we do not have a sound test for this episode, but we do have new ones coming up. And, of course, the old ones, definitely within striking distance, so you can go back and listen to those. We try and put one in every fourth episode, so basically once a month. So you've got a chance to flex your nerdy muscles, identify the sound, and win yourself a prize.
Well, we've got our first question here live from our good friend Metzgirl. In Earthbound, it's a good question. What is the name of the fourth town? Forestville, Fourth Wall, Forced, or Foreside? It's a great question.
Yeah, Earthbound is one of those big blind spots for me in video games. Obviously, there's Mother, Mother 2, and Mother 3. I believe we're talking Earthbound for the Super Nintendo, which would make it Mother 2.
Yep.
So I mean, I know that much about the game. But having not played it and still regrettably not knowing enough about it, I feel like Fourth Wall, because there is this type of zany fourth wall breaking humor in the games of Earthbound. So,
and that's what I was going to say too. And it's even more ironic to be like, we're going to name it Fourth Wall because that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I agree with you. I say we go with B, Fourth Wall, final answer. Matt, you in agreement?
Absolutely. It's my best guess.
Lock it in. While we're waiting for that answer, Mac, would you read question number two?
Certainly. Spear of the Morrigantes asks, in Star Wars Jedi Knight, Jedi Academy, who is Rosh Pennens, that's the name, instructor slash Jedi Master? Is it A, Luke Skywalker, B, Marka Ragnos, or C, Aten Rand?
He typed a D in the
and,
chat.
Or
as well.
D, Tavian Aximus. Stupid copy-paste issues. So, I recognize two of those names. Obviously, Luke Skywalker, we all recognize. But the C answer, Aten Rand, if I recall properly, Aten Rand, I feel like he was one of the characters in, I want to say, Knights of the Old Republic 2. In Knights of the Old Republic 2, I forget the exact path of the time frame in there, but Aten Rand, I want to say, is way before, because Old Republic is Old Republic, right? And it's fallen long before Luke Skywalker. So really what I'm saying is, I'm just trying to say that obviously we already knew A and C, Luke Skywalker, Aten Rand, it couldn't be both. But I feel like if it were Aten Rand, we would be talking about a Jedi Knight, Jedi Academy, setting it back in the Knights of the Old Republic days.
Land the plane. Land the plane.
Okay, I'm trying to land the plane. But I feel like I just don't know, Mr. Nice Guy. I'm just trying to flex literally any nerdy Star Wars related muscle in a desperate attempt to save face here.
Now, if Mac was ever on one of those game shows where you're like talking your way through things, they'd be like, hold that thought. We've got to take a commercial break, but we'll get back to what you have to say in a minute. Because that was a super long...
Try and run the whole game show out so that they'd have to invite me back next time.
He just filibuster it. More FaceTime on camera. And I don't know this one either, but you think it's not Luke Skywalker or Aten Rand. I agree. Luke Skywalker, way too obvious.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with C. Or no, rather with B, Marco Ragnos.
Marco Ragnos?
Unless you could think of a reason not to.
I can't think of any reason not to. Like I said, I only recognize two of the names on there, and I don't know, I don't remember where in the timeline the Jedi Academy was going on. So I'm going to go with you on Marco Ragnos, because I just don't... Aten Rand didn't strike me as a Jedi type, so yeah.
In the meantime, while we wait for that answer, Metzgirl, we did not get her question right. The answer was Foreside for the fourth town in Earthbound.
Well, at least we were close. We got four right. Notwithstanding that all of the answers had four in them, at least we got that part right.
Cool. We got one more question from Moocher while we wait for the answer from Spiero. Moocher asks, or says, Tetra means four. All tetrominoes are made of four blocks. The is in Tetris comes from A, is fun, B, tennis, C, is means fun in Russian, D, it comes from part of the creator's name.
I feel like... I feel like I played a game that was supposed to be a Tetris game, and I want to say that the guy, anyway, they talk about him, and I want to say his name was like Alexei.
Yes. You're right.
I feel like it could come from part of like his last name, but I don't know if it could come from his first name, and that's the only bit that I know. So I'm disinclined toward D.
You're disinclined toward D.
Yes. Now, if we had Mrs. the Mac here, who does speak Russian, we could get a hint on whether is means fun in Russian. Yes, cheat. Could be is fun, tennis. Oh, dude, I just don't know.
I don't either. Why don't you just take a stab at it?
Let's go with C. Is means fun in Russian. We're going to be wrong, and Mrs. the Mac is going to be disappointed.
We're going to go 0 for 3. What was the answer to Spiero's?
Okay, so Spear says, the answer is A, Luke Skywalker. Another acceptable answer would have been Kyle Katarn. Not listed, but he was an instructor as well. So, yep.
Well, we're learning stuff. We're learning stuff.
Spear tried to send us a... He tried to send a you know, nice, slow, easy pitch down the home plate, and we just couldn't get it.
Luke Skywalker, wink, wink.
Yep.
The Jedi, the main Jedi ever.
And Moocher says, B, tennis. He said that he chose that because everybody likes tennis. So, dude...
But that has nothing to do with the game.
0 for 3... We have been thoroughly stumped and trounced, but nonetheless,
y'all flexed on us.
I feel like all of these were great questions, and I certainly learned something.
Yeah, this was great. Thanks for tuning into Nerd Flex. We will do it again next week.
All right. Well, now we're going to turn to a little bit of legalese. As you guys know, we like to focus sometimes on legal adjacent stuff because, after all, that has a lot of impact with how we play video games, more and more so. But we're going to look a bit farther back. We're going to talk about the whole Atari v. Nintendo thing. It ended in 1993 is when the final rulings came down, but it starts in 1986. Nintendo had a lockout chip on their NES. Basically, it was a chip inside of the Nintendo and a corresponding chip inside of the game cartridge to keep people from making their own NES games. Now, at the time, Nintendo produced all game cartridges for the NES, and basically you had to bring to them no more than, I believe the number was 5 games to print for that year. Atari broke the copy protection and made their own chips inside of unlicensed games. And the battle waged over the copyright and patent infringement both. Things like, were the data streams on the back end of the, you know, of the things copyrightable? And they eventually came down to, on the copyright side, no. Because data streams, and we've discussed this before in other legalese's, the data is not copyrightable. The ones and zeros. It's the expression. And a copy protection, something that serves merely that sort of utility on the back end, never to be seen, never to be interacted with, is not an expression, so it can't actually be copyrightable. But as to the case of the patent infringement, that one Atari failed on, because what they absolutely had to do was take and reverse engineer the chips and then build their own format. So it wasn't a case in which you had, you know, things that were evolving towards the same direction. It was absolutely the theft and the stealing. And I know that that's just a really quick one. I had some more to say about it, but we're running up against time. But the point being is that this was certainly a case where DRM kind of won in the long run, with the patenting going on there and the patent infringement. To be clear, I'm not condoning the act of stealing secrets from Nintendo or anybody else in order to try working around it. But I am just saying that this was a case wherein we kind of got that main idea down, that what is, in a video game, what constitutes the actual the game, the entertainment, the expression, and what doesn't constitute the expression. And in this case, that's where we built, you know, sort of brick on brick the concept, especially in video games where everything's ones and zeros. What counts? What is the expression? And what's just kind of there? And I know it's quick, but that's just a little bit of legalese.
Dude, that's brilliant. Like, that's a brilliant concept, honestly.
Oh, well, I'm glad
because
you liked
we hear about it with all types of media, right? Like, is stealing music or like downloading music, are you stealing or is it just ones and zeros, right? Like that concept applies to literally anything digital or anything media, right? Now when you're making music, it's not ones and zeros. It's a bunch of people who are playing instruments together, right? But when it's on a computer and people are downloading it, at that point, you know, it's ones and zeros. So, like, it's an interesting debate.
Yeah, and while you might disagree with whether or not this court got it right, or even whether or not you should be basing your moral judgments or, you know, your actions
right, right.
on what this court decided in 1993, I think it's I agree with you. That's why I selected the case. I think it is a good thing, and it shows that when we really drill down to these questions, it shows some of the things that they struggled with and where they landed, and who knows? Maybe you agree, maybe you disagree, but yeah, that's what they thought in 93. Let us know what you think. Email us, send us a raven, or an electronic letter.
Just a bunch of ones and zeros, those electronic letters. Well, thanks everybody for tuning in to episode 182 of Two Nerds in a Pod. Before we go, we have one last thing we have to do that we like to do, called What We've Been Watching and What We've Been Playing, where we talk about just that, the cool nerdy stuff we've been into on Xbox, PlayStation, mobile, PC, Nintendo Switch, and retro devices, the stuff we've been watching on Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, Blu-ray, DVD, and other places, YouTube even as well. If you're here live, you have a job to do. Let us know in the chat what cool nerdy stuff you have been into. Mac, you want to lead off today?
Sure, and I'll be brief. I've been watching almost exclusively Stargate SG-1 this weekend as my family members are working their way through it, so join them for that. What I've been playing, though, I played...
Ooh, what you've been playing?
I played a little bit of Switch, Metroid on the Switch, because it was there, and I was there.
Yes.
But more importantly, yes. I played some VR titles. I played...
What?
I played Beat Saber, and I played a fantastic game named Pistol Whipped.
Ooh, how is that?
Fantastic. I loved it. It was great. I encourage you to get it. I did not, however, have the time to dedicate to playing Half-Life Alyx. That will be coming, but Pistol Whipped has my seal of approval. Fantastic game. It made me feel like John Wick, dude.
Now let's talk, if you don't mind, let's talk about this for a minute. Mm-hmm. So what were you playing on? What headset?
It was a Valve Index.
Okay, and what were your thoughts on the Valve Index? Like, you had done VR before.
I had, but my interaction with the various setups is so limited that I can't... I mean, when we did the HTC Vive back in 2015...
It's been a long
time.
Yeah,
it's just changed so much since then that I couldn't even begin to give a recommendation based on what's going on now, but the Index seemed great.
Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, I have one, and I love it. I love the finger tracking. Like, it's not necessary, but it adds so much immersion. I like that you don't have to wear, like, an extra headset, right? And it's a dope thing. I'm excited, actually, to try Pistol Whip now that you recommended it, and also for you to try Half-Life. So, what else? Anything else, or is that...
Nope, that's it for me.
You summed it up. That's fantastic. So, I watched Falcon and the Winter Soldier, episode 1. Not going to talk about it, Mac.
Okay.
Don't worry. You look nervous for a
second. Well, I just thought your tone sounded, I'm not upset, I'm just disappointed. And so I was just worried.
No, quite the contrary. I'm just not going to talk about it because I know you haven't watched it yet because you didn't mention it. So I thoroughly enjoyed the first episode, actually. And I'm disappointed to know, and this is not a spoiler, but that it is only going to be 6 episodes, right? They've made that well, right? So I did not get to watch the Snyder Cut, and I don't know if or when I will, but I've heard it's actually pretty dang good from friends that watched it, of Justice League. So we'll have to wait and see. Mac, I've been getting into an old show that I used to love back in the day and rewatching it in anticipation of new episodes coming out. That show is The Boondocks on HBO Max, and I feel like I've recommended it to you before, maybe in episode 37, I don't know, somewhere in one of those.
I think the record will show episodes 35, 87, and 91.
Okay, so this is the fourth time I've recommended it, this photographic memory. It's a killer show. I feel like you would appreciate it. I don't know that you would laugh out loud, but I think you'd be like, okay, I see what they're doing here, and I'm with it. But I don't know if you'd be like into it like I'm into it. But it's a great show. So that's the stuff that I've been watching. As far as what I have been playing, a little bit of Black Ops, a little bit of Among Us with the friends, and I feel like I did something retro, but I can't remember what it was. But that's enough for today, for the sake of time. Mac, what are the people into in the chat?
Well, let's see. I'll take playing. Uncle Ruckus is playing Payday 2, Dragon Heist, Satisfactory, Madden 21, MLB 2K12. I think that's 2K21.
No, it's 2K12. He's been going retro.
Oh, sweet. 2K12. Awesome. And Deep Rock Galactic. Moocher's been playing and coaching Rocket League, heck yes, and also imported Sega Golf Club for the PS3. Ooh, cool.
Nice.
Let's see. Mets girls playing Mario Kart and D&D, and Galvatron's been playing Call of Duty Black Ops, Cold War, Curse of the Dead Gods, Code Vein, Lords of the Fallen, Dirt 5, Doom Eternal, and the Ancient Gods DLC specifically.
Nice. I forgot to mention Assassin's Creed Valhalla. Really enjoying that. Well, Mac, that's it for this week. I say, why don't you take us home?
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us. Thanks for being here. Y'all are the best. We much appreciate you coming out on Tuesdays. Be sure to join us next Tuesday. You know, I know we say this every time, but 8 p.m. Mountain, 9 p.m. Central on twitch.tv/2nerdsinapod. In the meantime, keep it nerdy and be excellent to each other. And we'll see you later.
See ya. Shout out to Game Insider.